a member of the intelligence community reportedly filed a whistleblower complaint regarding President Trump. According to reports, the person making the complaint became aware of a promise the president made to a foreign leader that was alarming enough, they thought, to raise a red flag. There is still a lot we don't know about the complaint, the person who made it, and how the story will play out. Our next guest has been following the story and has written about the impact the fight between Congress and the White House could have on future whistleblower complaints. Amy McKinnon is a staff writer for Foreign Policy magazine. Amy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'll re-asterisk this one right now. There's a lot we don't know about this, but can you spell out for us what we know for pretty certain?
Exactly. So this has been one of those stories where, you know, we've had the hint of something possibly incredibly fascinating, and everybody in Washington is scrambling around to try and find out what's going on. As you say, what we do know is pretty limited, but what we know is that on August 12th, an intelligence official filed a complaint to the intelligence community's inspector general that they had seen concerning behavior regarding, the statute describes it as waste, fraud, or abuse, mismanagement or potential danger to the inspector general. The inspector general, as the statute states, then reviewed that complaint and found that it was both an urgent matter and that they found it to be very credible. And so, as you know, as the process goes along, he referred it to the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, who assessed the complaint. But he then referred it to the Department of Justice, what is supposed to then happen next is it's supposed to go to Congress, congressional intelligence committees, who will assess the complaint and you know, kind of assess it and work out some kind of remedy or solution to it. But the Office for the Director of National Intelligence blocked that. He has not referred it to Congress. And so this was all going on at the beginning of September, but it kind of spilled out into the public this week, you know, when Adam Schiff came, the Democratic chair of the House Intelligence Committee, came forward and said, hey, where is this complaint? We're supposed to get our hands on a copy of this. And so that's where the fight stands right now between the Office of the Director of National Intelligence and Congress. And what we do know about the complaint is there was some reporting in the Washington Post and the New York Times that it concerns Trump's phone calls with a foreign leader. And then there was a report last night in the Post that it involved Ukraine. And that is all we know right now about what's going on. And right before I came on the air, there was another kind of tantalizing detail on that, which was that in a call with the president of Ukraine at the end of July, Trump apparently 8 times implored him to work with Giuliani, Trump's personal lawyer, to essentially investigate Joe Biden in Ukraine. So this is when it starts to get a little bit complicated, but maybe we can go into that in a little bit.
Well, on this whistleblower law, as you said, the statute would direct information about a whistleblower complaint from within the intelligence community to take this to Congress. But one stumbling block is, and you write in your piece on this, that the people who wrote this law weren't necessarily thinking of the person being complained about as being the president of the United States, and that makes things potentially more complicated.
Right, exactly. So the law covers any of the, you know, the Director of National Intelligence is the most senior intelligence chief in the country, and the law covers anybody who comes underneath him. But where this has gotten complicated is, where does the president fit into this picture? He's not an employee of the intelligence community, but he does handle incredibly sensitive intelligence matter. And so, you know, I am not a lawyer, but having spoken to national security lawyers here in D.C. and you know, I should say up front, they are not privy to what's going on, but they are lawyers who are expert in this area of law. They can see two kind of scenarios playing out, which is where this friction has appeared. On the one hand, the inspector general for the intelligence community, he may have looked at this and said, you know, if Trump was using the Oval Office telephone as an example, that is something which the security of that falls under the purview of the Director for National Intelligence. And so he may have used what they call the vermouth rule, which, you know, if there's a drop of vermouth in gin, it's a martini. If there's a drop of the Director of National Intelligence's purview in the complaint, even if it's just a single droplet, then that means that it is within their purview to address the complaint. On the other hand, what the ODNI, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, may have decided is that the president, being the president and not a member of the intelligence community, is not directly involved in this, that he has presidential purview and certain rights underneath that. So, you know, it's kind of a it's an issue that already lawmakers are saying, actually, this is, you know, tested the legal system to its limits, and they may are going to kind of try and find a remedy for this going forward.
Now, with this Ukrainian connection, you mentioned Rudolph Giuliani, former New York mayor, serving as a lawyer, a personal lawyer, not a White House lawyer, for the president, said on TV very recently in about a 30-second span that he hadn't tried to persuade Ukraine to pursue investigations of the Biden family, and then 30 seconds later said he had. This is a quote from a readout apparently from the Ukrainian government cited by a congressional committee. The President Trump saying to the president of Ukraine, he's convinced the new Ukrainian government will be able to quickly improve the image of Ukraine, complete the investigation of corruption cases which inhibited the interaction between Ukraine and the USA. And that last line hints at what people are fearing, that the president is indicating to Ukraine and the Ukrainian government that pursuing corruption cases against Biden's will help the United States treat Ukraine better. Is that the worry here?
That is the worry. And as I've stressed all along, this is all, it's kind of educated speculation right now, but nothing is known for certain. But yes, if this intelligence issue that the whistleblower has raised does involve Ukraine, and it is that phone call that they had at the end of July, of course, the thing that everybody honed in on is this readout from the Ukrainian government, which they just put up on their website as they do very kind of nonchalantly. But it kind of flicked at this idea that that Trump had tried to urge his Ukrainian counterpart to work with Giuliani to investigate Biden's activities in Ukraine. And so just to give a little bit of background context on that, when Joe Biden was vice president and he was Obama's point person on Ukraine, at the same time, his son, Hunter Biden, was on the board of a Ukrainian gas company called Burisma. While Biden was dealing with Ukraine, he had encouraged the Ukrainian government to fire their prosecutor general, but for many reasons. I mean, many international institutions, a lot of Ukraine's friends abroad, domestic anti-corruption activists were all calling for this guy to be sacked because of allegations that he was not pursuing anti-corruption investigations, that he was blocking reform attempts. So there was a very broad effort to kind of see him to be removed. But what Giuliani is trying to allege is that Biden was pushing for his removal because this prosecutor was investigating wrongdoing in the company that his son was on the board of. I hope I haven't gotten into too much into the weeds here.
No, but that's fine. It's a complicated story.
It's a complicated story. I'm trying to go as clearly as I can. But there's been some very good fact-checking on this by the Washington Post and by PolitiFact, which have kind of found that, yes, it was a bit of an unfortunate conflict of interests for the Bidens, but it does not look like that was what he was doing it out of the U.S. kind of interest, which was to see this guy removed because he was a very ineffectual prosecutor for Ukraine. So that, in a nutshell, is kind of that story there. But over the past year, we've seen Giuliani. He's traveled back and forth to Ukraine. He has ties in Ukraine, and he's been encouraging the Ukrainians to reopen this case. And the theory, or kind of guess around this, is that because this could potentially be politically difficult for Biden as he heads into the Democratic primaries, and if he is the Democratic candidate in 2020. This could potentially cast some shadow over his campaign if he's going up against Trump. So that's the big story. The short story is it's the president's personal lawyer going to a foreign power and asking them to basically dig up dirt on the one of the president's rivals in the campaign.
Amy McKinnon is with us from Foreign Policy Magazine. We're looking at this whistleblower story in the U.S. intelligence community. President Trump was asked about the issue at a joint news conference today with Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison. Here's a bit of what he had to say.
I've had conversations with many leaders. They're always appropriate. I think Scott can tell you that. Always appropriate. At the highest level, always appropriate. And anything I do, I fight for this country. I fight so strongly for this country. It's just another political hack job.
And the president also said the whistleblower is a partisan operative, but that he doesn't know who it is. Can you talk more about the president's response so far to this story?
Well, I think one of the major concerns to all of this is the chilling effect that it could have on future whistleblowers. I mean, the whole whistleblower system is there. whistleblowing is an ironic term, right? It's someone blowing a whistle. It's loud, it's noisy, it's attention seeking. The whistleblowing system is supposed to be the opposite of that. It's supposed to be a discreet channel for people to securely report what they see as wrongdoing within the intelligence community or within government agencies, and to raise that and to have that, have their concerns addressed without putting their jobs on the line and without putting their identity on the line. Already, I mean, this person, we don't know who they are. The president is basically calling them a partisan operative. And the more and more details that are leaked in the press as to what the contents of it is, the more this person risks having their identity exposed. And then they may, you know, that could possibly expose them to retaliation within the workplace. So a lot of people, a lot of transparency advocates are very concerned that this may put off future whistleblowers. And of course, you know, as a backdrop to all of this, this week you had the release of Edward Snowden's book, which is what, as far as the intelligence community is concerned, is the worst case scenario type of whistleblowing. And they don't even see him as a whistleblower; they see him as a leaker. But there, you know, there's concerns that if people don't have channels to quietly get things addressed, that, you know, what if they just say, you know, to heck with it and just go straight to the press with their concerns? That, you know, that poses serious risks, could pose serious risks for U.S. national security.
Yeah, we see a leading House Republican, Kevin McCarthy, saying in a statement, why didn't this guy come to Congress? As I understand the whistleblower rule, they're specifically not supposed to take things. If it's an intelligence whistleblower, they're not supposed to take things straight to Congress. Do I have that right?
As I understand it, yes, they're supposed to go to the intelligence community's inspector general, and then it's from them that it would go. It's through them and through the Office of Director of National Intelligence that it would go to Congress. Yes, but I'm not sure whether they can. I don't think they can go directly and bang on the door of the congressional committees. But I'm not an expert on that.
Sure. So with so many different pieces to this story, what are you watching for next to see where this is going to go, Amy?
I'm very curious about this Ukraine link, about what is there. I mean, it's very tantalizing. All we know basically is one word, Ukraine is involved, but we don't know any more details on that. And I have a major concern there, which if it is this Giuliani Biden digging up dirt story, I have great concerns about what that means for the U.S.'s relationship with Ukraine, because, you know, as it fights a war with Russia, as it has lost Crimea, as Ukraine pursues this very ambitious reform package under its new president, they're reliant on U.S. support, and they have enjoyed very strong bipartisan support here in Washington. And if that is undermined by having Ukraine dragged into a partisan spat ahead of the elections, if they lose their American support, there's only one place that stands to benefit from a weakened Ukraine position, and that's Russia, which is very concerning.
Amy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Amy McKinnon, staff writer for Foreign Policy Magazine. She joined us today to break down what we know and don't know about a whistleblower complaint against President Trump and what impact the fight between Congress and the White House could have on future whistleblower complaints.